Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Joseph. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Jessica, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is KixDB2 Debugging Techniques. Today's presenter is Dan Zachary. Dan has been working with the Kix Level 2 support team since 1989. One of his areas of expertise is the KixDB2 interface. At this time, I would like to turn this presentation over to Dan.
Hello, everybody. See a lot of familiar names out there on the list, and that's nice to see. So let's get started. Joseph, why don't we take me to the second screen? Okay, so what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about how to use a Kix system dump taken while you've got some tasks hung. Dumps taken for like admins or something, or Kix crashes or something. Those would be different techniques to sort of debug those. This would be a case where you're running along and perhaps tasks have backed up to max task or something, or you just have some tasks that you know are supposed to be short running and are hung out there for some reason. And you have a dump of that, and you're going to want to go figure out how to figure out what they're hung on. And I'll talk about our general to task hangs, but also we'll specifically talk about those task hangs that happen to tasks that do DB2 stuff. Okay, Joseph, let's go to foil number 3. Okay, so what's in it for you? Well, you know, a lot of times in the heat of the battle when things are hung up, your efforts are geared towards getting things going again, and you can't really dig into root cause. But with a dump taken at the time, then later at a more leisurely pace, there's an opportunity to learn in depth a little bit about the root causes of why it hung up. And the more you know about that, you know, you're more likely to be able to make the right change to try to prevent it. You know, we do this kind of stuff, you know, all day long, every day, and your knowing a little bit about it will help you partner with us, kind of keep us honest and keep us on track of what you want us to focus on in a dump. Okay, Joseph, let's go to number 4. Okay, so you're looking at a dump of a hang. So what first? The first biggie thing you need to do is make sure you know, Kix is healthy as a job. What you want to avoid is, you know, it could be that the Kix was hung, you know, just sort of totally hung as an address space in some sort of tight loop somewhere, or the QRTCB is off in some sort of unusual weight, and nothing has happened at all for 10 minutes or so. And if you were to go in such a dump and go to the dispatcher summary and see a bunch of tasks waiting on this and that and start to concentrate on those things, then that would be missing the point in this dump. So we want to distinguish between a dump taken where Kix is not healthy from a case where Kix is fine. It's just the tasks that are hung. And the way to do that is to compare the timestamps, the time the dump was taken versus some of the Kix internal times. Okay, Joseph, let's go to number 5. Okay, so what time is it? You know, there's lots of timestamps and dumps. Most of them are in local time. You know, the things from your console, you know, message logs, the Kix trace formatters, that's all in local time, and it's easy, and you don't have to think about it very much. But there are a few that are in sort of raw store clock form, or at least converted to GMT, and you need to be able to convert to local from that. So we're going to talk about that on foil number 6. So let's go to that, Joe, please. The way I recommend to learn what that offset is between GMT and local, you know, in your shop, is to do this command there I have in the first bullet, the IP space LTOD space 0. And almost as an aside, that's formatting a raw store clock of all zeros. And you can see in that that's sometime in 2042. That's when that raw store clock thing is going to wrap around from a big number to a zero. So Charlie's zero now on that first byte. In 2042, it'll wrap around to zero. But that's not the point of that, really. But here you can see the difference between GMT and local. A lot of times it's an even hour kind of a thing. On this one here, you can see that it's 6 hours and 21 seconds. And that 21 seconds comes from leap seconds. Leap seconds is something I'm learning about. And some shops have it set. There's a CVT field that says whether there's a leap second offset or not. And most shops don't have it set, but some do. And if you do, it plays a role in the offset between GMT and local. So you don't have to worry about whether it's set in your shop or not. You can just do this command here, and it'll tell you the right offset between GMT and local. And it does take into account leap seconds if that's in effect. The 21 seconds often doesn't matter in a dump. You're typically dealing with tasks that have been suspended for several minutes. So it's not a biggie, But every now and then, you'll be confused in the dispatcher summary at a time of suspend because you haven't got the right offset between local. Okay, Joe, let's go to number 7. So what time was the dump taken? There's more than one way to do this. You could go to the console, and, for instance, and see where the reply is on a comm dump or something. But a good way is to do this one, this IPSTSYS that I've shown there. And there's a couple of different timestamps on there. And I'm not positive what the first two are, to tell you the truth. But the incident token time at the bottom of the little display I put there, that is pretty much right when the dump was taken. Unfortunately, that's in GMT time. So this is one of those that you would need to convert to know the local time that the dump was taken. This matches up with the earlier FOIL. And so when I convert to local by subtracting that 6 hours and 21 seconds, then that bottom bullet is the answer. So this dump was taken at local time on November 28th at 15:48:44. I just want to point out here, in that earlier part of this display here where it says time of day clock and it gives it in local and GMT, you can see that it's just an even 6 hours there. And that's not right. That doesn't take into account those leap seconds. And this is a mistake that I've really just learned. I used to go here to get the offset between GMT and local, but it doesn't take into account leap seconds. So that's why you should do that IPLTOD0 to tell that. Okay, so we have a dump, and we know the GMT time and local time that it was taken. So let's go to the next FOIL, please. Okay, so the next step is to see what time Kix thinks it is. And again, there's more than one place to go for this, but this CSA place is a good general-purpose way to tell what time it is. So here, in that first bullet, you can see I'm using the Kix verb exit formatter. In this case, I've done the one for Kix TS2.3, DFHPD630, and probably you all know the program is different for every release of Kix. So CSA equals 2, and then you can see the CSA, and an offset 50 into there is an internal timestamp that's updated every time a task is dispatched on the QRTCB. It's in that HHMMST kind of a format, so that you can see that's also a local time of 15:48:44. So in this case, the time of the dump and the time that Kix thinks it is pretty much the same. And so you could conclude that Kix is healthy as an address space here, and so you're not going to be going off the deep end by checking out why the individual tasks are hung. If there was several minutes between these times, the time and the CSA time, then you'd know something else was going on. Let's go to the next FOIL, number 9, please, Joseph. So as I was saying, Kix wouldn't be healthy if those timestamps were apart, and then, you could give us a call, or it's just a different way of looking at the dump to try to figure out why Kix has been hung as an address space for however long it has been hung. But if it's close, then that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's go on to slide number 10, please. This is a place where you would start to go figure out why your tasks are hung. This is the dispatcher summary, DS equals 1. And we're going to talk a little bit here about some of the fields here. Okay, so the one I have circled there is task number. So it's way over. Sometimes you might not even see it if your screen isn't big enough. And we don't label it task number, so some people miss it, but it really is over there. And that's those last little piece of that XMTXN token. So anyway, that's the task number. Go to number 11, please. Okay, and then here, this column here, the task state column, it is important. This tells you what the tasks are doing. And basically, there's three states. They're either running or suspended or dispatchable. Now, the running, there's a few different flavors that I've listed there down there, the R and the A and the J, but they're all runnings. We're going to talk about that in a minute, what exactly that means. Let's go to FOIL number 12, then. So that top bullet, that's really what it means. It means the Kix dispatcher has given control to a task on some TCB, and off that task goes really off into the wild blue yonder. And the Kix dispatcher, whatever happens, the Kix dispatcher considers that task to be running. And then ultimately, when the task does something to cause the task to suspend through the Kix dispatcher, then the Kix dispatcher knows, okay, this task isn't in anymore. And so what it might be doing in there while the Kix dispatcher considers it to be running could be really anything. It could be in some sort of tight loop or just executing exec Kix commands. It could be potentially have done some operating system service and the whole TCB is in a wait. Could have made a DB2 call and the TCB is off in some IRLM lock waiting. So running doesn't necessarily mean running. It's just running from the perspective of the KICS dispatcher. Okay, let's go to number 13, please, Joseph. And dispatchable is where a task is waiting to run. The task may have been waiting on something, or it could have been dispatched for the very first time, and there's no reason it can't run. Simply, it's waiting its turn. This happens mostly on the single TCB mode things, like the QR and RO and CO, where only one task can run at a time on those. And so typically when there's a dispatchable task, say on the QR, it's sitting there dispatchable and not running because some other task is running. So that's what it means to be dispatchable. Okay, let's go to 14, please, Joseph. This task mode column lets you know what mode of TCB the tasks are running on, or what they were on when they last suspended, or in the case of dispatchable, what TCB mode the task is waiting to run on. And just while I'm thinking about it here, the last three lines in this summary, if you look at three from the bottom, you'll see that's a QR mode, and over in that state column, it's a D. So that task is dispatchable on the QR, and then right below it, you can see a task that is running on the QR. That's why only one task can run at a time on the QR, and so just wanted to point that out. Okay, let's go to foil number 15, please. Okay, and this is really the heart of the dispatcher summary usually, in a case of task hangs anyway, is usually you'll have a whole bunch of tasks that are suspended. And then the key thing here is that time of suspend column. You know, unfortunately, it's in GMT. That is on our wish list to get that changed to local, so you don't have to think about converting to local. But it's GMT right now. So that's the time of suspend, and you got to convert that to local. And then I didn't circle it, but over to the left of that in the resource type and resource name columns, you know, that's the thing that gives you a clue as to what the tasks are waiting on. Okay, let's go on to foil 16, please. So you've got your dispatcher summary, and you know you've got some tasks that are hung out there because somebody took this dump for some reason. Where do you start? Which ones do you concentrate on? The easy answer to that is you want to concentrate on those things that aren't usually there, that aren't normal. And, of course, that's easier said than done. Like, you know, if you have a perfectly healthy, busy KICS region and you take a dump of it and you go to the dispatcher summary, you're likely to see lots and lots of tasks suspended on things, and it might be easy to think, oh, my gosh, something's wrong. To avoid making that mistake, there's a couple of things. One of them is the task number. So you need to make sure you can see the task number as you're scrolling through the dispatcher summary and realize that a lot of those tasks are supposed to be long-running. And their time of suspends really might be a long time ago, but that's okay. So realize that the low task number tasks are likely that and probably not what you want to concentrate on. And then the last bullet down here, you know, here's where you need to compare that time of suspend to the dump time. Very possibly some of your tasks were suspended, you know, right at dump time. And those likely are not the ones that you want to concentrate on. It could be, sort of looping and suspending often and just have been in a loop doing that. But you'd probably want to ignore those at first anyway and see if you don't have some tasks that really have been suspended for about the amount of time that things were hung up prior to the dump being taken. So those are probably the ones that make sense to look at, is those that have been suspended for a good long time and are likely not supposed to, you know, they're likely supposed to be sub-second tasks or something. So those are probably the ones to concentrate on. Okay, let's go to screen number 17, please, Joseph. So I think I pretty much said this stuff, but, you know, there's often several pages of dispatcher summary, and so it's a scroll down through them all and get a big picture view of what most tasks are suspended on. And then start anyway with whatever, you know, the most prevalent one. You know, it might be as you dig into it, it'll come back around to some of the other tasks that are suspended in different types of weights. But I would start with the suspend type that is most prevalent. Okay, Joseph, let's go to 18, please. So once you have selected some tasks to sort of dig into, how you dig into them is pretty much different depending on what the suspend type is. A lot of it is common. You know, typically you're suspended on a resource, and the idea is that you want to find out who owns those resources and see what they're waiting on. And, you know, that's typically what they all are. But there's specific things to specific weight types, and we're going to talk about the two that I have in red there, the Dispatch Open Pool and the CDB2 Ready Queue. Those are both DB2-ish sorts of task tanks. So let's go to foil number 19, please, Joseph. Okay, so a little bit of about those two types of weights. The Dispatch Open Pool is something when a task is trying to get one of the open TCBs. Those are the TCBs that are limited by the FIPPARM max open TCBs. And so if all of those are in use by tasks, then a task that needs another one would wait in that Dispatch Open Pool. And the idea then to work on that kind of a hang would be to figure out, well, which tasks own the open TCBs, the L8s and L9s, and see what they're waiting on. And then similarly with DDB2 Ready Queue types of waits, they're waiting on a thread, a DB2 thread, like as would be limited by that thread limit parameter on the DB2 entry resource, or in the case of pool threads, on the DB2 con resource. And so for that, to figure out why a task is waiting for that, you need to figure out, well, which tasks own those threads and what are they doing. This is to the DB2 transaction summary, which I'm going to talk about on foil number 20, please, Joseph. So every task in here has made an SQL call or is trying to make their first SQL call. When a task does so, we get a control block that called a lot, life of task, that it belongs to the task and exists until the end of the task. And every task in here has gotten successfully one of those open TCBs. And so, like for instance here, I think I have like 8 tasks in here. So let's say that your max open TCBs is 8. Then you would know, okay, so the reason my tasks are waiting on Dispatch Open Pool is because all the open pool TCBs are in use, and they are in use by those 8 tasks that you can see there in the DB2 transaction summary. And so you'd have to go figure out, well, what are those 8 tasks doing? Okay, and then what I've circled here is, you know, nicely, thankfully, there's the TRAN ID column, which we don't have on the dispatcher summary, and the task number that you could use to relate to the tasks in the dispatcher summary. Okay, let's go to foil number 21, please, Joseph. So I've circled here the, it's called the RCTE name, and it might as well have been called the DB2 entry name. It's called the RCTE name. And this is the DB2 entry that the transaction is using. Okay, let's go to foil number 22, please. Okay, so here's a really key one on this summary. The CSUB is this control block in KIX that we use to represent a thread. And when a task has a CSUB, and it'll also have a correlation ID if it has a CSUB, it gets an address there and then the correlator. And if the task does not have a CSUB, it shows as all zeros for the CSUB address. So you can easily see those tasks that have a thread and those tasks that don't. So anyway, you'll find that if you related these top 4 tasks back to the dispatcher summary, you would see that those tasks are the ones waiting in the CDQ wait. Okay, and then the 4 tasks at the bottom, they own the thread. So let's say here that there are no DB2 entries, which means everybody is simply using pool threads, and they have and your thread limit on the pool threads is 4. And then you would know, okay, well, those 4 tasks are the ones that own those threads. So they're causing the CDB2 ready queue waits. And then indirectly, those 4 tasks are also causing all of the dispatch open pool waits. Okay, so then you would need to concentrate on, well, what are the tasks that have the threads doing? All right, let's go to foil number 23 then. To answer that question, what are the tasks that own the threads doing? This column here that I've circled is important. And this says whether the task is in DB2 or not. Let's talk about the no case. In the no case, what that would mean is that these tasks have in their past made a SQL call, and it's gone off to DB2, and it's come back to the application, and the application is going about doing something else. And while it's doing that something else, it owns a thread and owns an L8 TCB. So to make sense of these 2 at the bottom that have no in that TCB and DB2 column, you would need to take those task numbers and go back to the dispatcher summary and see what those tasks are waiting on there, realizing that while they are waiting on something there, they are owning both a thread and an L8 TCB that other tasks need. Let's go to foil number 24, please. If they're off in DB2, it'll say yes there, and that means that the application has made an SQL call, and we've gotten an L8 TCB, and we've gotten a thread, and we've gone off to DB2, and control hasn't come back yet. All right, let's go to foil number 25, please. So here I'm sort of relating this a little bit with some things. Let me point out that the bottom box there is something we haven't talked about. That's from doing a verb exit for kicks with a PG equals 1. And if you find on the task number in there, you can get a little summary there that sort of shows the application calling sequence, you know, what called what, to get to where the task is at this moment. In blue, in that light blue, I have, you can see I'm focusing on the same task number from three different of the kicks verb exit summaries. So in this case, this is one of those where the task owns a thread. You can see he has a CSUB address and a correlation ID from that first box. And TCB in DB2 is no, so this task is doing something else other than DB2, but he owns a thread while he's doing that something else. And in the middle box, the dispatcher summary, you can see that what the task is doing now is hanging on a file control kind of a thing. I think that's a string wait sort of thing. So this task, while owning a thread and an LATCB, which is holding up other tasks that need those resources, the owning task is off in a string kind of a wait. And so to make progress on this one, you would need to then delve into the string wait and find out who owns the strings and what are they waiting on and things like that. But we're not going to get into string waits here. And anyway, that bottom thing, you know, you can just sort of see that the application program that's in control from a kicks perspective anyway is that top one, the logical level 4 one, the fourth from the bottom. So let's go on to number 26, please. All right, so this is one where the control is in DB2. And you can see here that in the dispatcher summary, the middle box, that the task is running from the kicks dispatcher perspective. And that's the way it is now with these OTE, with open TCBs, is while DB2 is in control, used to be a task was suspended on like a LOT ECB or CLOT ECB or something. But now the task is running. So it's not as obvious anymore from the dispatcher summary that you're off in DB2 land. But you really are. And then the bottom box, you can see how that before program is DFHD2EX1. That's the true. The kicks DB2 true, which is the way it will look when a task is off in DB2 land processing an SQL call. Okay, let's go to foil number 27, please. Here's some tidbits to help delve in there a little bit. Like in the case where tasks are off in DB2, I'll do this thing right here to make sure there's no disconnect between what DB2 thinks and what CSS thinks. So the way you do that is using that DB2 equals 1 summary that we've been looking at the transaction summary for. We can do that, and earlier in the output of that, there'll be a little thing that tells you what the ASID is of the kicks region you're looking at. So you'll need to note that, 00 dog Charlie in this case. And then a little further down, there's this global state summary. And then there, you'll find, if you didn't know it, the DB2 subsystem ID. And you need to note that, DB2 dollar in this case. Let's go to number 28, please, Joseph. And then armed with those two things, you can do a DB2 formatter thing. A good number of the DB2 control blocks that represent the threads and things are in common storage, and so they are in typically a dump of just a kicks region. And so this will work on just a dump of a kicks region. So you can see the verbex command in the first bullet there and the place to put the subsystem ID in that you've already gotten. And then DS equals 3. And you get in there, and it's a big old thing for every thread in the whole LPAR, you know, from all kinds of different jobs. And to get down to the threads for the kicks job that you care about, you need to find on ASID, like I have given there in the second bullet, with the 4-character ASID number in there. Like in this case, it would be 00 dog Charlie. And you'll get down to the section of all the threads having to do with that job. And then what you'll see is a whole bunch, usually, of things like are in my box. And each one of these things, like in this box, that's one thread. And this stuff is a lot like what you'd get from a display thread sort of a command. And anyway, a couple of things I'm going to point out here, not everything, but a couple of things are the T asterisk thing, the status. So T asterisk, the asterisk means controls in DB2. In a case like this, we would expect that because KIX says that control is in DB2. So, you know, if that doesn't match, then something's wrong. And the correlation ID, I have that circled. That would match up with the correlation ID that KIX knows about and displays in that DB2 transaction summary we've been looking at. And then the status, you know, here it's suspended I think it could be running, like if control of an SQL call is sort of churning away, doing stuff, you know, maybe it's a big select or something. I think it's possible that it could be running while control is in DB2. In this case, it was suspended, and then at the time of suspend over there, you know, this would be suspended on an IRLM lock or some sort of a DB2 lock or something. You know, unfortunately, it still worked. Getting to this point, it's still not obvious what the threat is doing. And, you know, you'd need to put on your DB2 hat or talk to your DB2 counterparts, or I would need to invoke my DB2 counterparts and to help figure out what the threat is doing while it's over in DB2. Okay, let's go to slide number 29, please. So to pull some of this together, this is, you've seen this before, except that bottom box is now that DB2 formatter. And you can see, you know, the correlation ID in the top box matches the car ID in that box. You know, TCP and DB2 yes matches the T asterisk. So at least things are consistent. It'd just be a little bit more work to figure out what the thread is doing. Okay, let's go to throw number 30. Okay, now here's just one more little tidbit that can help. Like we might want to know, okay, so we know, all right, this SQL call is hung over in DB2. Well, what SQL call is it? What program did it? What is the SQL statement? And you can tell some information about that by if you find this thing called an RDI. The RDI is like the encapsulation of the SQL statement that gets passed over to DB2 so it knows, okay, this is a select or this is an insert. And to get there, you grab that lot address, and you can do that IPL command I have below there, and that will automatically traipse you through the control blocks and land on the RDI and display it, which you can see in foil number 31. So that's what it looks like. Pre-DB2 version 8, that's what it looks like. And then here you can see, you know, easily in the eye catcher, the program name, the DBRM name of the program that made the SQL call that we're hanging on. And then a couple of other little useful pieces of information. At hex 24, which I think is one able dog dog, that's the DB2 precompile statement number. So you could relate this SQL to the source. And then at offset 26 is the statement type. Like here it says 00EZ8. And I've got a little thing on another slide to help you see partially, you know, how to relate that number to an actual SQL statement. Okay, let's go to number 32, please. And here's what it looks like version 8 and later. That program name is still there at 6, but it's in ASCII or Unicode might be a better way to put that. And with a little old yellow card, I could convert that hex data at offset 6 into, you know, a readable program name. So it's not as easy to see anymore, but it's still there. And then the SQL statement type and statement number are in slightly different places. Well, the statement type is at the same spot. But that's the way it looks in RDI at DB2 version 8 and later. Okay, let's go to number 33, please. This is a partial listing. If you assemble that little macro, you can get a whole listing of all the SQL statement types. And like that EZ8 that we had, looking on the left of this thing, you can see the EZ8 is an insert. So you might find that useful if you want to know, you know, details about the actual SQL call on which a task is hanging. And let's go to number 34, please. So we're done now, pretty much. So when you're working on a dump, make sure TIX is healthy. Go to the dispatcher summary as the starting point for figuring out why the tasks are hung. And then that DB2 summary is very useful for tasks hung on DB2 things like open TCBs and threads. A little bit more detail we've just talked about how to get some more detail on the actual SQL call itself. Let's go to number 35 then, please, Joseph. On this chart, there will be a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Developer Work is one that offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. And you can visit the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. And the IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. And the ESR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And my support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. That brings us to number 36, Joseph. Questions and answers.
Thank you, Dan, for a great presentation. At this point, Jessica, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we have a question from Benjamin Chen with CompuWare.
Hi, how are you? This is Ben Chen from CompuWare. My question is there something similar in WebSphere that we'll be seeing here for cakes?
You mean like a dump format?
Yes.
I do not know, and so I will have to speak with some WebSphere folks and find that answer out.
Thank you.
We have a question from Dave Frankel with IBM.
Hello, I am Dave Frankel from Global Services, and here is my question. If I use JCCS Java in a Kix region, and subsequently, of course, I would use JDBC to get to DB2, what the technique of debugging that process?
Ask the punchline question again, please.
What the technique of debugging if I use JCCS and JDBC in a Kix region?
Okay. Well, it would really be similar techniques. Like, for instance, if the Java program made a call into DB2, it would come through the standard Kix way into DB2 just like any transaction. And so if, for instance, the SQL call hung in DB2, it would look just like what we've talked about. The dispatcher summary would show running on an L8, and the DB summary would show the task and show that it has a thread. So, you know, the Java program goes to the same interface. So you'd use the same techniques. Now, if it came to, like, let's say such a program had made an SQL call and it wasn't hanging on that, and that SQL call had made it back to the Java program, and then it hung up on something else, you know, it would really be the same thing. Perhaps the Java program was going after a Kix file and it might be in a string way. If the Java program hung up somewhere in Java while owning a string, say, then, yeah, the Kix dispatcher would simply show running. And that it would be different technique. There's LE formatters that would show the calling sequence of where things are, you know, the different classes that have called. You know, you'd use techniques like that.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
And there are no further questions. I'd like to turn the conference back over to you, Mr. Lamb, for any additional or closing remarks.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope that you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Dan, for presenting today.
You're very welcome.